Okay, put the verse up. We all stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures. I'll read the first three verses. It's Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This is what is going on, is my topic I'm going to preach about. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, now in the 24th day of this month, and it's referring to the second month, which you can see from Nehemiah 8:14. The children of Israel were assembled with fasting, so they hadn't eaten, and with sackcloth. I don't think any of us have sackcloth on, and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And look what happened in the next verse. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of Yahweh their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part, they confessed and worshiped Yahweh, their God. You may be seated. 6-hour service. I've never been in a 6-hour service. I've been in a conference that lasted longer than that, but they had breaks. I'm going to tell you a little thing, what I found. I'll tell you about this. It's very interesting. Naomi, her husband, and two married sons had died. They had been living in the, quote, country of the land of Moab, unquote, for over 10 years. The Moabites had been living there, but had been driven out for over 300 years. Now, 300 years is longer than the United States has been a country. It's a long time. There were no Moabites who were living there at this time. Her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, were married to Ruth and Orpah. What were they to do after they were all widowed? The famine, the reason they had left Bethlehem, was over. Naomi suggested that they return to Bethlehem. But only Ruth said that she returned to Bethlehem with her, while her sister-in-law would go elsewhere. Where did she go? Did she find someone else to marry? Has anybody thought about that question? Does anybody know the answer that the Jewish rabbis give? I didn't know the answer either until I read this. Look at what the Jewish rabbis tell their followers. Orpah's grandmother was the queen of Moab, married to Eglon, the Moabite king. Orpah was a Moabite princess. And did she find a new husband? Who was it? The rabbis say that it was the shrewd political alliance between Eglon, the king of Moab, and the Philistine king of Gath. In those days, there were still giants living in Moab, but most of them had moved to the coastal plain. And Orpah became the wife of one of these Eminem or giants. She bore him 5 sons, one of which was named Goliath. Orpah became the mother of Goliath and his giant brothers. And who killed these 5 giants? David and his men. David, who was the great-grandson of Ruth, the sister-in-law to Orpah. David killed Goliath in a one-on-one battle. Orpah was an aged woman when Abishai, a general in David's army, attacked Ishbosheth, her last living son. Jewish tradition relates that she tried to hinder Abishai from killing her son and died in the effort. That's the story of Ruth and Orpah according to the Jews. Now I'll review what they said. The Jews say that four of their own kin, Naomi and her husband, her two sons, and their Moabite wives lived in the country of Moab. After all three of their husbands had died, two of the Jewish widows went back home to Bethlehem, and the other went back to being the princess of Moab. Oprah became a political wife with the kingdom of Gath when she married a giant and produced five giant sons, one being the famous Goliath. So Ruth's descendant killed Oprah's descendant in the famous battle. What a story. Another Jewish fable. We are supposed to believe that both Ruth's and Oprah's descendants came from the Moabites. For the Jews say that Ruth was a Moabite too, even though she married her second kinsman Redeemer. How could he redeem her if she was not an Israelite? They never answered that question. Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 2, in the seed of Israel, separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. Now, my next verse is 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 35 and 36. With whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, no sacrifice to them. You might have seen on the news where the police chief kneeled down. Oh, he's bowing down. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and him shall you do service. Sacrifice, yes. Who are these two verses addressed to? Verse 35 tells us it is the people with whom he made a covenant. With the pure descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh God instructed them to not fear, bow down to, serve or sacrifice to other gods. Instead, they were to fear, worship, serve, and sacrifice to Yahweh God who had delivered their ancestors from slavery in Egypt by many miracles. The penalty for Israelites who worship another god was death. Now the pandemic. Have you considered that many of the most notable idols that are worshipped in America were judged during the coronavirus lockdown? The god of sport was judged with all sporting events, basketball, football, baseball, soccer, boxing, wrestling, volleyball, track, cross country, recreational sports, and so forth were closed throughout the land. The sports page of the newspaper, they had nothing to write about. They wrote about the past games. Wasn't that wonderful? You don't have to worry about going home early because the Bengals aren't on TV right now. Or the Reds. The god of sex was judged with all brothels and strip clubs closed. Got to be 6 feet apart. The god of recreation was judged with all amusement parks, theme parks, national and state parks, and beaches closed. Eventually, you could walk on the, was it the wet sand, but not the dry sand. The god of careers was judged as millions of working mothers were quarantined to their homes with the care of their children. The god of leisure was judged with restricted travel, cruises, vacations, and business and family travel was stopped. The god of public education was judged with a severe blow as public and private schools, colleges, and universities closed their door and had to do all classes online. They were all closed. The god of false Christianity was judged when the worship of a false counterfeit non-covenant Jesus was imposed by the closing of 501c3 churches throughout the land, along with all the false gods and religions. Hallelujah. The god of sodomy was judged with all the homosexual parades, bathhouses, and bars closed. The god of gambling was judged as casinos closed across the nation. While these nine gods were put away from the covenant people to serve, there were still other false gods for them to worship. One was the god of infanticide or abortion. Planned Parenthood was left open as killing the unborn was called an essential business. Two, the god of drunkenness. Alcoholism was proliferated across the land in private homes. Three, the god of drugs and opiates were not restricted in any way. The overdoses continued to take the lives of many people. Four, the god of race mixing or miscegenation. Five, the god of sodomy. And six, the god of pornography. And there probably was more. I don't know. Did our sovereign God use the coronavirus turned loose from a Wuhan laboratory in communist China by a wicked, sinister, evil men and women, including Bill and Melinda Gates, Anthony Fauci, Deborah L. Birx, Robert Redfield, and I cannot say this name, he's the head of the World Health Organization, and other masquerading as little health gods quarantined the healthy population of America and the world. Will this be the last call for the covenant people to come to repentance, confess their sins, turn from their wicked ways and gods, and reclaim the divine favor of the eternal God? Or will we witness another plandemic coming our way? There appears to be a very well-planned and orchestra effort to bring forward a global agenda, and that agenda is fixed and focused on America, and bring this country into subjection under the guise and cover of the health and safety of the American public. The new health gods from the CDC, Fauci and Bricks, together with the WHO, etc., are seeking to prolong the current shutdown and destroy the economy. They're global elitists. The war is continuing. And now that the pandemic has failed, a race war is the next judgment. The television is no longer talking about the coronavirus and the individuals that had the worldwide virus all wrong, with very wrong predictions. They are not talking about the Republican Senate investigation that is exposing ex-President Obama and ex-Vice President Joe Biden and their Democratic henchmen who attempted to impeach and disrupt President Trump's presidency, nor are they covering the Senate subpoenas. Now suddenly, there is another crisis. Looting, stealing, shooting, burning, defying, rioting, disobeying curfew, throwing obstacles at the police, cries that demand the defunding of the police, etc., are what is making the coronavirus a memory. Who is behind this? Well, the Black Lives Matter pandemic. It isn't surprising that Black Lives Matter is a communist organization. But the type of communism they subscribe to is, they are conservative communists attempting to fold the progressive movement back into traditional Marxism. Black Lives Matter has turned its back on intersectional theory. The modern conflict theory they birthed, safe spaces, trigger warnings, and the oppression Olympics. Instead, Black Lives Matter is rebirthing the traditional class struggle, reframing it in terms of black and white. The policy platform proposed by the Black Lives Matter in August did nothing to hide this traditionalism. It's called for collective ownership of resources, banks and businesses, a highly progressive income tax, a guaranteed minimum income, and government jobs are lifted straight from the pages of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. Here are two excerpts for comparison. First, the Communist Manifesto. It says, abolition of property and land, and application of all rents of land to public purposes. That's the Communist Manifesto. Black Lives Matter, a right to restored land, clean air, clean water, and housing, and an end to the exploitive privatization of natural resources, including land and water. Communist Manifesto, extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, the bringing into cultivation of wastelands, and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. Black Lives Matter, we seek democratic control of how resources are preserved, used, and distributed, and to do so by honoring and respecting the rights of our indigenous family. Most of the protests were led by this organization. They shortly began to blame all police officers for the four officers involved in the supposed murder. The Black Lives Matter is pushing for defunding the police or disbanding the police. They have even shot black policemen. I again refer to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. I'll now tell you a little something about Martin Luther King Jr. In details of a young love between 19-year-old Michael King Jr., that was his real name, he changed his name to Martin Luther King, and Betty Motz, a white woman he spent several years with at Crozer Theological Seminary, they both attended. According to Motz, the relationship started out casually with just small talk, and eventually they delved into more serious topics. He would talk and talk and talk, Motz said. One thing ML knew at age 19 was that he would change the world. This is a quote from the biography on King, Seminarian by Patrick Parr. During their second year at Crozer Theological Seminary is when things became more serious. Parr writes, the two grew more comfortable going public with their relationship. They sat on park benches together in full view of anyone of the student body. When asked if the stares and scoffs by students at the Northern School, which was located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, bothered her, Mott said she wasn't concerned about the opinions of others. I never noticed. I always had a tan and dark brown hair, she said. While those on campus knew of their romance, King kept it from his mother and family. According to Parr, King's sister Christine came to visit regularly, and he knew if he told Christine about their relationship, Christine would tell his mother, and the news would disappoint her. King eventually came to a crossroads with Motz and sought the guidance of his friend, Horace Whitaker, who was 10 years older, married, and already a father. Whit, as he was often called, said he begrudgingly advised King to end his relationship with Motz. I remember talking to him about that kind of marital situation, and we had talked about it from the standpoint that if he intended going back to the South and pastoring at a local church, that it might not be acceptable kind of relationship in a black Baptist church, And I think he would be valuing that in light of whether or not it was a workable situation, knowing his own particular sense of call. 8 years later, having married Coretta, Parr says in his book that King reflected on his relationship with Motz and spoke of her matter-of-factly, divorced of the love the two reportedly once had. She liked me, and I found myself liking her. But finally, I had to tell her resolutely that my plans for the future did not include marriage to a white woman, King said. King was extremely fond of her, but he was also rather proud of the fact that he was able to socialize openly with a white girl. And there's a picture of Betty Motz. Ezra chapter 9, verse 2. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. Mingle.com. Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. Could we say that today? Could the rulers of our land, could the senators, the representatives, the governors, and the preachers come to me and say, the people of, we have not separated ourselves from the people of the land? Blacks, Asians, Indians, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. What did it mean when it said the holy seed hath mingled themselves with the people of the lands? Who is the holy seed? It is the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the covenant people of God. What is the meaning of them? They mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Israel was not to mingle or mix with other races by marriage. Israelites were to keep themselves a separate people. A repetition of what had caused the captivity, it seems their lesson had not been learned. However, from the verses we see that they became willing to do the right thing as demanded by the law and finally did do the right thing. Now Mark Downey pointed this out to us in a sermon he gave in 2011, 9 years ago. It opened my eyes as to the evil of this organization. What organization was it? Christian Mingle. Spark Networks Incorporated began with J-Date, a niche dating site for the Jewish community, launched out of a West Los Angeles condominium in 1997. Word spread fast, and it quickly became the go-to destination for Jewish singles looking for love worldwide. Successful religious dating ventures followed, including Christian Mingle, the app synonymous for Christian dating in the United States, as well as Latter-day Saints singles and Adventist singles. An acquisition saw the popular millennial Jewish dating app JSwipe added to the portfolio in 2015. Christian Mingle is the leading Christian dating site for single men and women looking for a God-centered relationship. What sets them apart is the ability of the organization to help their members make quality connections. It features robust profiles and personification features to help members connect with other like-minded members. It's why so many Christian singles have turned to Christian Mingle to help them find their special someone. Mark wrote the following 9 years ago in his article entitled Baal Worship in Judeo-Christianity Part 4. It was given November 27, 2011. Here's the quote from Mark. Race mixing a la Baal worship. Christian Mingle is owned by Spark Networks, and his CEO is Greg Lieberman, a Jew who is raking in about $40 million a year for the company. He then quoted Leviticus chapter 21, verse 15. Neither shall he mingle his seed among his people, which suggests mongrelization. The King James Version quotes it, neither shall he profane his seed. In Hosea chapter 7, verse 8, the New Living Translation does not mince words and gets the main thrust of the sin thusly. The people of Israel mingle with godless foreigners, making themselves worthless. And here's a picture from the website. Mark added in the same article, quote, but a more obvious question is how do we mix our seed with our own race? It's impossible. Mingling is an element of Baal worship. So take answers in Genesis. Is there God Baal? How do we bring down those gods of Baal? We don't subscribe to Judeo-Christianity dating services. We recognize that there is nothing Christian about miscegenation, unquote. I'll quote Ezra chapter 9, verse 2 again. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed hath mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. Obama Foundation blunder. Did you hear about this one? Well, do you remember 9/11? Well, sure you remember 9/11. How many towers came down in less than 12 seconds on that dreadful day in America? There were... Oh, you know, three. I asked the policeman. He says he's investigated 9/11. I said, well, how many towers came down the first day? He said, two. I said, well, I'll research it a little bit and come back with me, and we find out there was three. And eventually, all seven of them came down. But three came down the first day. Most people will say there were two, but that is wrong. There were three. There is the famous British television broadcast with the woman anchor saying that the third tower came down, but the third tower standing in the background as she was talking. It came down a half hour later. What? Did the person who wrote the words for the anchor to read miscalculate the time zone between the United States and England? The same thing has happened with the Obama Foundation, and I looked it up myself. They mistakenly put the following on their website 8 days before George Floyd was supposedly murdered. Here's what they have on the May 17th website. I don't know if you can see it. Who's this picture here? That's George Floyd. Can you read the date down here? May 17th. He was killed what day? May 25th. What? How could they have that on the website 8 days before? Well, let's look at the Democratic Party. Radical leftist leaders are the leaders in the states that suffered the most pain in the lockdowns in both pandemics. It is these Democratic Party states that now are crying out to either defund the police department or abolish it entirely. The radicals, including the Hollywood celebrities and ball players, react to the incident of George Floyd by investing millions of dollars in the organizations that are destroying the black community and their economy. The Democrats don't want the low-income blacks to blame them. They want them to blame white superiority of racism. Well, how'd racism get involved in all this? Oh, there's a war going on for 6,000 years between the two seat lines. We have seen Obama and Biden and their followers try and retain the power of the leftists for the last 3.5 years. Joe Biden, the Democratic nominee for president, was a speaker of the third funeral. He had three funerals of George Floyd. This was in Houston, Texas. He spoke via video because of the virus. Quote, "Now is the time for racial justice." And as George's six-year-old said, "George changed the world." They even made his death the same as the death of our Savior. Democratic Representative Al Green of Texas said, "George's only crime is that he was born black." He said it. I heard it. Democratic Representative Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas delivered her remarks. This is unbelievable. That George accepted assignment from God. When God asked, "Who will go for me?" George volunteered, "Send me." Flags were sent by former Democratic presidents Obama and Clinton. George's niece said, "There is a man that says, 'Make America great again.'" I wonder what man that was. When was America ever great? I had to put a comment in here. What? His only crime was he was born black. The Democrats never use a good black man who was wrongly murdered. Here are some crimes that were committed by Mr. Floyd. Gentle George, as he is known, he was 6'6", did a stint for theft with a firearm in August 1998. He served 10 months in Harris County Jail. Well, there's one crime. Next. Floyd was arrested in April 2002 for criminal trespassing and was sentenced to 30 days in jail. He's in jail the second time. Next, Floyd had two other cocaine offenses, receiving an 8-month sentence stemming from an October 2002 arrest, and was sentenced to 10 months from a 2004 arrest. That's 4 times in jail. Floyd was sentenced to 10 months in state jail for possession of cocaine. He served 5 years in prison, beginning in 2009, for aggravated assault stemming from a robbery where he entered a woman's home, pressed a gun into her stomach, and searched the home for drugs and money, according to court records. General George, very nice guy. Police were called when George paid with a counterfeit $20 bill. Cause of death, cardiopulmonary arrest complicating law enforcement's subdural restraint and neck compression. He suffered from heart disease. He also had coronavirus, and he exhibited phenol intoxication and recent methamphetamine use. He made many pornography films. He hadn't seen his son, who was in his 20s, his son was on TV, since he was 5 years old. Is that how a good father would act? He and his supposed murderer knew each other as they both worked security at the same El Nevo Rodeo Club in Minneapolis at the same time for years. And did you know for the last 3 years he had a white girlfriend? Courtney Ross. Why wasn't she mentioned as his girlfriend at the funerals? Why isn't she mentioned at all in the media? Ezra chapter 9, verse 2. They have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of princes and rulers have been chief in the trespass. My conclusion. Follow the money. Here are very few of the people who have made massive amounts of money the last few months. It's similar to the six senators who sold millions of dollars of stock after they heard about the coming shutdown of the coronavirus in private meetings. They denied that they broke the law. Pershing Square Capital Management CEO Bill Ackman minted a multi-million dollar profit as coronavirus fears tanked United States stocks. The hedge fund billionaire turned a $27 million position into a $2.6 billion through defensive hedge bets. Ackman is a philanthropist who gives to Jewish causes, including 5 Jewish history scholarships and arts organization in New York. Now, St. Corona, I'm not Catholic, so I didn't know this. Joe, you may say yes or no. St. Corona is the patron saint of money and gambling. Ackman wrote a dissertation on Harvard's admission policies. For his honor thesis, he wrote a paper in 1988 called Scaling the Ivory Wall, the Jewish and Asian Experience in Harvard Admissions. Jews are massively overrepresented at Harvard, just like in the financial sector. This is very interesting. Here's white people. This is the percent of the population. This is how many people go to Harvard, which is about a little more than 20%. This is the population. Here's the Jews. Well, there's more Jews at Harvard than white people. That is incredible. They're about 27%. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, Hollywood executive producer and former Goldman Sachs executive, he gained unprecedented power from the coronavirus relief bill he helped write. It made him one of the most powerful cabinet members in modern history. Mnuchin, of course, is Jewish. The Fed hired BlackRock Incorporated to purchase securities and handle the administration of the special purpose vehicle on behalf of the owner of the Treasury. The Fed is providing the money to do it. BlackRock will be doing the trades. The scheme essentially merges the Fed and Treasury into one organization. BlackRock has been called the world's largest shadow bank. Larry Fink is the CEO and chairman, and Robert Caputo is the president. They are both Jewish. They co-founded BlackRock Incorporated with a number of other Jews. On and on it goes. Plus, as of June 10th, GoFundMe. I looked it up myself. This was of June the 10th, so it's more than now. This is the June the 14th. The official George Floyd Memorial Fund, $13.8 million, and they were asking for $1.5 million. I would guess it's over $14 million now. Oh, no wonder they are saying what they're saying. They're multimillionaires. Another fund, Atlanta, Georgia. Official Gianna Floyd Fund, George Floyd's child. Oh, she has $1.9 million out of $2 million. And I'm sure now it's over $2 million.
and bail fund for justice for George Floyd protesters, they got $42,000, and they're asking for $40,000. Got a picture of the Communist Party. What are they doing? What are they doing? They are and they're raising their right hand, and it's in a... Oh! Oh, that's the communist. That's the communist sign. Remember the track stars? Came in first, second, third in the Olympics. They got on the stand, they all went like this. People in the United States were in uproar. That's communist. Let's look at the protesters. Are they communists too? And now the saddest part. I tell you, I get the Christians United for Israel. Whoops, I get the emails. How I got on that list, I do not know. They're having, at the end of June, our lineup of speakers features top U.S. and Israel officials, including... Now, who do you think is going to be speaking there? I'll show you who's speaking there. Flip the... President of Israel. Well, okay. Minister of Defense. The Ambassador. Minister. And there's Ambassador. That's the UN Ambassador, Nikki Haley. Senators. You like Ted Cruz? He's pretty good. But he's speaking. Marco Rubio. There's that Tom Cotton again. He gets in my sermons every time. He was hired by that one company. James Langford. Tim Scott. He's a black man. Jackie Rosen. Marsha Blackburn. I think she's in Tennessee. As well as syndicated radio host. Oh, Mark Levin. And Dennis Prager. Now, I kept this sessions open to the public. And I put Pastor John Hagee's name in big print. So 2 weeks from today, Israel, night to honor our enemies. They were the ones that did 9/11. Celebrating the U.S.-Israel relationship featuring Pastor John Hagee. Oh, Nikki Hagee also speaking. Tuesday, Senators Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Tom Cotton, James Lankford, Tim Scott, Jackie Rosen, and Marsha Blackburn. If you want to attend these, you have to pay an extra $25. Let's see, Monday, the rising threat of anti-Semitism. Are they going to say they're saying bad things about us? Oh, Irving Roth, Holocaust survivor and educator. Oh, that'd be good. And they say at the end, I put it in big letters and I highlight it in yellow. Please, please do what? What do you think they said? Please be prepared to act on behalf of, that's Israeli, and the Jewish people. And then Nancy Pelosi has advised that 11 Confederate statues be taken down in Washington, D.C. There is one statue she didn't mention. Do you know what Confederate general she omitted?
Albert Pike.
And it's situated in front of the Masonic Lodge in Washington, D.C. If she'd have said that, I'd say, take them all down then. Albert Pike remains. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 3. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the Yahweh their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped Yahweh their God. What did our ancestors do in a similar situation? They gathered together and read the book of the law of Yahweh God for 3 hours. And then for the next 3 hours, they confessed and worshiped Yahweh. What a 6-hour service that was. Very few of the churches in our country even met because their governor told them it was best for everyone in the state that they remain home. They were not essential. Praise Yahweh for that we continue to meet. May our Lord God have mercy on us, our fathers, our grandfathers, on his people. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.